Before I get started this week, I wanted to give a big shout out to Jeannie Coleman Coaching. Jeannie is a stress and TMS coach based in Los Angeles, the best coast. Her work involves not only a specialized focus on TMS, but also on helping clients transform important aspects of their life where they feel stuck or overwhelmed, like their career, their relationships, weight issues, confidence, purpose, life stressors, you name it. You'll find her to be compassionate, action-oriented, and results-driven. Really all the things that you need in a coach to create a meaningful change. Her holistic approach will help you make the changes that are important to you, and you'll walk away feeling empowered to continue to create the life that you want. One of the things that makes Jeannie such a great coach is she's been in the trenches with her own challenges like this, completely overwhelmed with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue that left her physically and mentally depleted. Simply put, she gets it because she's been there. After healing herself completely, Jeannie is now laser focused on delivering fast results to her clients through a one-on-one coaching program. This includes weekly support, consistency, and accountability. And the best part about working with Jeannie is that she takes the stress out of this process. She gives you a customized approach and a simple plan with tools and strategies that align with your individual lifestyle. I encourage you to book a free 45-minute call to learn more about the one-on-one program so you can fast-track your results. If you work with Jeannie, you'll embark on a transformative path where obstacles are overcome and breakthroughs will become the norm. Go to JeannieColwin.com, that's JeannieColwin.com, and book your free call today. Welcome back. It's August the 17th. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Let me give a shout out to the patrons of the show. If you're interested in supporting, now I have a couple of different sponsors on the show. If you're somebody that's not in a position to make a sponsorship, perhaps throwing a few bucks in the tip jar could be for you. So go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast to learn more. Let me give a shout out to Barb and Arnie, Sarah, Brian, Julie, Ross, Christina, Mike, Michael, Tony, Kelly, Irina, Mindy, Jason, John, Dominic, Elise, Emily, Daniel, Deborah, Julie, Jeff, Albert, and Teresa. Thank you all so much for continuing to support this podcast every single week, month, and year. Several years for some of you. I'm coming up on 5 years here in the next couple of months, which is pretty amazing. So thank you so much for the support. It has been a bit since I've come on and done a little bit of story time, but this past weekend gave the perfect opportunity for that. So this is kind of like a two-parter. So initially kind of want to go through something that happened on Sunday and ultimately what I did. And then July 31st, and I totally missed it because I was out of town, was National Intern Day. And as crazy as it sounds, for even being, I don't know if we'd call it a holiday, nobody gets the day off, especially not an intern for that. But what really gave me the love for broadcasting and podcasting and interviewing and doing all of that was me making an appearance on the sports radio station in Seattle. At the time, it was ESPN, or it was an ESPN affiliate. And now it's a Fox Sports affiliate, but I got to interview or I got to be interviewed on my last week there and then play a montage that I had made, a Major League Baseball montage. And I thought it was dope. And so I was listening to it the other day and then totally spaced because the plan was I was going to play it 3 weeks ago when it was the National Intern Day. And then I forgot. So that's how we will round out the episode, is going through that. But nevertheless, if you've seen the movie Friday, the very first Friday, Chris Tucker, Ice Cube are in it, and there's this character Debo, and I'll tell you how this intersects in a couple of minutes. So it was Sunday morning, and I open up the door from our room to go downstairs, and I walk by Zoe, and Zoe is standing on a stool, not even a stool, she's standing on a chair, like an office chair, up in the hallway closet, and she's kind of pilfering through some things, and I said, what are you doing? And she said that she was looking for nail polish remover. Now, something that she had done the day before, and Jenny had walked into her room and just smelled rubbing alcohol and just like intense fumes and stuff. Zoe had taken nail polish, like black nail polish, and mixed it with something. I don't know if she mixed it with water or mixed it with something, but her hands were black and soap was not making them go away. We didn't have much nail polish left. Pretty much all the nail polish was gone. And it also wasn't really doing anything, even the little bit that we had. So the amount of distance between our bedroom door and the gate to go downstairs in our home is like maybe 15 or 20 feet. And Zoe's halfway in between there at the closet. And this is probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 feet. So I walk by, ask that question. By the time I did the next 7 to 8 feet to get to the gate, I get a, it's like a hot knife was stabbed in my right buttock at the very top. And it ran all the way down my leg. And I like, I'm holding the railings as I'm going down the stairs and can only put weight on my left side. I could probably put maybe 10% on my right side. And it was just a searing pain, unlike something I felt in a long time, probably in a couple of years, maybe a year and a half since the last time I had really any sort of kind of an intense relapse like that. And it was just killing me. I go into the garage. My routine is that like I get up on the weekends. If it's Saturday, I'm working out and then I'm walking the dogs. If it's Sunday, I'm just getting up and I'm walking the dogs and I'm going to get Jenny coffee and then I'm coming back. So this was me going downstairs to take the dogs for a walk, Lexi and Lucy. And I get downstairs. I'm hobbling to the garage. I can't even bend over to put leashes on them. So I go in the garage. I shut the door so the kids don't see me. They're not alarmed. And I'm like, I'm trying to piece it together basically and kind of start to do this little bit of a stretch and then stopped. It's like, no, we know what this is. And there's a great scene. I'm going to play it. There's a great line from Debo in that movie that I said to myself audibly, said it out loud, forcefully, just like he does. Let's listen to it.
Stop being a bitch and come on.
Try it one more time. Let me turn it up.
Stop being a bitch and come on. Stop being a bitch and come on.
Stop being a bitch and come on. So I literally said that to my right ass cheek. And I shit you not. Pain starts to diminish. I get the dogs on their leashes. I take them for their regular 2-mile walk. I'm maybe, I don't know, a quarter mile in. And it completely goes away. It's completely gone. And that's how it is. And so I'm sort of... was this the right approach or not? I sort of was trying to defragment the events that had just happened. What could have possibly happened in the moment between me exiting our bedroom and walking 8 feet to Zoe, seeing her there trying to get something to remedy a problem? Is it the annoyance of the nail polish? Is it the anger of her wasting a bunch of resources and, you know, maybe spilling nail polish in a room and all of that? And then I start thinking about what period of time are we in right now? And I'm a big believer in that TMS in a large way, once you have a grip on it and you kind of know what it is, can have a very seasonal-like thing to it, meaning that maybe always around Christmas or always around the holidays or always around Halloween or always around the anniversary of a death of a loved one or something like that, you tend to have symptoms. So I'm going to have to ask my parents what the date was that we moved here. But we moved here in 1995, in August of 1995. I think it was mid-month, might have been early month. And school starts just after Labor Day, so give or take the first or second week of September. And that was me going into fourth grade. So Zoe right now is at the exact junction that I was at moving from California, from a different world. And I'll get into that in a couple of seconds. What starts flashing through my head as I'm thinking about this, this is on the walk, so this is way after it all happened, is the world of hurt, that I will put it, of when I moved up here. I've talked a little bit about when I was on Lisa Schlossberg's podcast, which I think I've replayed here before. I had talked about this experience and this culture shock of going from third grade in California, which was boys played with action figures, you know, girls played with dolls, boys rode bikes. Like, you know, we were kids, like actual kids. We watched cartoons. We did all that kind of stuff. A couple months go by and we move to Washington. My dad got a teaching contract up here. So the family gets moved. And then I go into the first couple of days of fourth grade. People are listening to rap music. Everybody has a significant other, a boyfriend or girlfriend. The girls are all wearing makeup. It's just a very adult, maybe is the right term. And just the way that people act, like they're too cool for school. And I was not cool. Like I was not a cool kid. You know, people were wearing like designer clothes, whatever that was at the time to a 9-year-old, but were wearing like nice clothes. I had like sweatpants and usually like a college t-shirt or something like that, like a Chico State University t-shirt or something. And it was also the first time that I ever remember anybody making a comment about my weight or the way that I looked, calling me fat, not liking my hair, like anything, like weren't into it. It was such a culture shock. And so I then started to kind of get, I was getting these visions of Zoe being in fourth grade and going through and experiencing some of that. I think at this juncture, Zoe is a tremendously cooler kid than I was at that period of time. She's a better dresser. She's much more resilient. She's a great kid. She's more extraordinary than I could have pretended to be at that age. So will she be able to handle her own? Yes, when she gets to school and when she gets to fourth grade. However, it's challenging, right? It's challenging stuff, and it's something that brings up, PTSD is not the right term, but does bring up a certain level of trauma for me from when I was a little kid. And it's something that I really want to write about. I've been off social media now for a couple of months. I kind of miss the short form writing, or even in some cases, the long form writing of something like Facebook, because that is like a good outlet for me. And maybe journaling is a good thing to that. But I do like the dialogue, especially on something like that. If you're a parent that has a kid, maybe that has gone through this period of time, let's say 4th through 8th grade, because I think that those are probably the toughest. They were definitely the toughest and most challenging times of my childhood, was that 4th through 8th grade period of time. And then 9th, astronomically better. Sophomore year of high school, 10th grade, not as good. 11th grade, probably my favorite year ever, at least in school. Senior year was dope. College was great. It was just kind of like this 4th through 8th grade period. Everyone's awkward. Everybody's going through puberty, all this kind of stuff. And there's just a lot of challenges. And I think it's probably even more so now with like social media and kids with cell phones and bullying and stuff like that. It's something we try to be really cognizant of as parents. But the only thing that I can really relate back to this searing moment of hot knife jabbed into my ass while I'm walking by Zoe is these thoughts of what she is about to embark on. So it's something that has come to mind. It's something that's come to mind for me. And I'd love to get your thoughts. If you're a parent, you're listening to this, by all means, like shoot me an email, eddie@themindandfitnesspodcast.com. Send me a DM on Facebook. Send me a DM on Instagram. Send me a message on TikTok, whatever you want to do. I'm very easy to find. I just use my full first name and last name on all my handles, so it's easy to find me. Nevertheless. Okay, so before I get into the second part of this, Lisa Schlossberg, she had a great podcast this past week. She had somebody on who was a part of her 14-week group coaching program in the past, like an alumni. Good to listen to. She's a trauma-informed holistic health coach, social worker, personal trainer, and yoga teacher who supports emotional eaters and chronic dieters around the world to achieve mind, body, soul, health, and wholeness. Holistic healing techniques helped Lisa understand how her own lifelong morbid obesity and irritable bowel syndrome were both physical symptoms of psychological stress, unexpressed emotions, and unprocessed trauma. Having lost and maintained 150 pounds for more than a decade by healing her relationship with food through emotional healing, somatic experiencing, among other things, Lisa's mission is now to help people around the world overcome similar struggles by supporting them through the process of healing so they can live a full, fulfilling life and health body. Her 14-week group coaching program is a transformational experience designed to empower you with skills, tools, and education and the support you need to use your struggle with food and body as a path to alignment so you can embody a life of freedom. This is designed for anybody struggling with disordered eating habits. It's a holistic, trauma-informed curriculum, and it's designed to support participants in understanding how they got here, how to get out, and how to maintain it. It's a strength-based program, and it's rooted in the belief that using food to cope is a valid method of managing stress, coping with emotions, and regulating energy, and that it is possible to sustainably heal from the inside and out. Her website, going to be in the show notes, outsidethecave.health/work-with-me. To learn more. Okay, so National Intern Day. When I went back and just listened to this like a few minutes ago, try to be kind to me on this. I would have been 22 when this aired. Like, I just turned 22 when this aired. This is 2008, so this is 15 years ago, a little over 15 years ago. And I think that it's funny because my voice is sort of naturally deep, or I think that it's naturally deep. And so just take a listen to me. This is me with Elise Woodward, who is a local sports personality. She's a legend in Husky basketball at the University of Washington, and was a mentor to me while I was there. So it was awesome, like amazing to get interviewed by one of my absolute favorites, intern for her and her producer. I got to be an intern at this radio station for a couple of years, and this was an awesome way to end my college experience. So let's listen to me from 15 years ago on sports radio KJR, at the time 950, now 93.3. Details.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop? I spit it through the wire, man. There's too much stuff on my heart right now, man. I gladly risk it all right now. It's a life or death situation, man. Y'all don't really understand how I feel right now, man. It's your boy Kanye Titta. Shoutown, what's going on?
Yeah, well, what is the song? What is this? 903 on 950 KJR. This is the song you wanted? Eddie the Intern, who has been a great intern, one of the all-time best, I gotta say. He puts together the last call for headlines. He's running around here like a chicken with his head cut off for 3 hours. Love Eddie the Intern from Western Washington up in the Bellingham area. So he's a two-time intern. So you're a two-timer.
Two-time.
Two-timer with Softy and on the night show.
Actually, wasn't Softy. I was with my boy Groz.
Oh, that's right, because the Groz always gave you tickets.
Ladies love Groz.
Love Groz. You love Groz, too. You said Groz was great and would hand you tickets all the time.
Well, it was funny.
I probably fell short of that category.
Don't
have free tickets.
We had a great time.
I hook him up.
And Shockey hooks me up. But actually, last year was funny because when they first opened Jimmy's on First down by the stadium, I would go and set up the remotes for Groz, or at least help him. And we're sitting there together, and Gas was at the studio, and Groz was down there. I sat in the chair next to Groz and had the headphones on because just trying to occupy my time and see, you know, what are they talking about? People come up and shake my hand and say, hey, I love your show.
Thinking you were the gas man?
They don't know what Mike
looks
like.
Oh, God, that's funny.
They have no idea because he's on radio. So maybe he could be a
20-year-old kid. If you haven't seen Gas is, he just said he had his birthday last week, so he's 48. He's got brown hair. He used to have a gray goatee. He shaved it off. Now he's a clean-shaven fella. Young and chipper, but I gotta say, you sport a very what would we call it? Not a crew cut, but almost.
It's closer to a buzz, maybe.
Yeah, it's almost a buzz. So. You look nothing like the gas man, and you look probably, what are you, 22. You look like you're 22 or 23. Well, Gas doesn't look 22 or 23.
But for a short amount of time, some people out there in Mariner Land may have thought that he was 20 or 23.
And did you pass it off? Did you sign the Gas?
I did it. I played it off as best I could, shook their hand and said,
you're like,
well,
give me his wallet and we're all good, right?
Good to go.
Well, Eddie has been here. Give us why you got into the radio business, Eddie, who's about ready. You've graduated. Are almost ready to graduate,
almost.
Right?
Week from Saturday, I walk. So on the 14th,
a week from Saturday, you're all ready to head out in the new world. And we look at you as this young, you're a little blossom in springtime. What do you want to do with yourself, Eddie?
Well, obviously get the degree first. And I'm hoping, I'm waiting to hear back from Rich Moore, the program director here, and see.
Hint, Rich.
Look into a part-time producer job, get involved in the business somehow, because I'm really liking to absorb it and check things out and just be a part of it. I'd like to go on air someday and have my own show or whatnot. And I think that I'm heading in the right direction in some sense.
You got to get away from this place if you want to, accomplish anything in your life. You got to get out of here.
Well,
hey, it's Rich.
I'm having a good time, and I'm learning a lot here at the night show, especially because there's a lot of, there's not very many people here and a lot of stuff needs to get done. Whereas when I was working last year in the daytime, a lot of stuff was already done because there's so many people
here. See, we put you to work, baby. So,
and not to say that they didn't put me to work last year, but
we need you.
The last call for headlines part was great. And got to learn. I mean, I didn't realize how much I enjoyed the announcer side of it, hearing Bob Uecker and Charlie Slows and Rex Huddler and Steve Fizziok and Shockey's boy Harry Callis call.
I love Harry Callis. He's my absolute favorite. I could listen to that guy all day long. Who was it that just said last week? I could listen to him read off the phone book completely. I just love his voice. You hear him in NFL films and he just gets you fired up. Love him. Mm-hmm. I know you put something together.
I did a little package
of the best clips that you compiled, right?
It is. I put some background music to it, one of my favorite artists or whatnot. It's about 3 minutes, and I enjoyed it.
Shockey, hit it. Let's hear what he got.
High drive, left center field, going back, Scott, on the track, at the wall. See ya! A long home run for Alex Rodriguez. Two in two nights since coming off the DL, and the Yankees lead 4-0.
Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
All right, I hate that one. Hate the Yankees.
Out to deep right field, and the home run drought is over for Ken Griffey Jr.
There are certain guys that when they swing and make contact, it's pretty sure you can mark it down in your book, even here at this ballpark, a home run.
Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Bouncer toward the middle, base hit.
All right, 4-5.
Zambrano with his fourth hit of the game, driving in DeRosa. Officially, it's a rout, 12-2, and Zambrano with his fourth hit of this game. A swing and a ground ball to Lee. This should do it. Shovels to Wood. Cubs win.
All right.
The play goes 3-1. Kerry Wood saves it, and the Cubs make it 2 in a row over the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Now the wind by Burley with the bases loaded. The 2-1 pitch. Swung on, hit pretty well to left field. Back goes Quentin. This ball is going. It is gone! A grand slam for Franklin Gutierrez. Into the bleachers and left. And the Indians finally get that monster hit they've been searching for. Oh, what a blow by Franklin Gutierrez. It is far. It is gone. Oh, what a shot by Giambi. The Giambino. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
The 1-2.
Fastball got him swinging. Cubs win it by a score of 3-0. Kerry Wood gets a save on his 10th anniversary of his 20 strikeout game.
The pitch. Finds it high. Hits it deep to center. Babe Ruth, he is second on the all-time home run list.
And Bassett deals. And Bonds hits it high. Hits it deep. It is out of here. 756. Bonds stands alone. He is on top of the all-time home run list. What a special moment for Barry Bonds. And what a special moment for these fans here in San Francisco.
All right, that's enough. Eddie, I liked you till you had to put Barry Bonds on the air. Seriously? Come on, man.
He's my boy.
Come on, you grew up here, didn't you?
No, I'm a North California native.
Oh, all right. Well, then, all right, I can accept that for a little bit until you realize that, come on.
Well, seriously? His first year with the Giants, I was there at Old Candlestick Park, saw him play the Phillies. He homered. We won 2-0. He had 46 home runs.
See, remember, you'll never forget, man.
And I can tell Shockey that every day I walk in.
Which is great.
Every day.
Well, hey, we hope that you're going to be sticking around. Thanks for everything you did. You did a great job on the night show. We appreciate all your hard work, and we'll put the good word in for you, man. We'll get you climbing up that ladder, and someday you'll say, hey, we knew Eddie way back when.
Fantastic.
Way back when. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That was pretty cool. I like to listen to that. Hey, thanks for being here this week. Got a great interview coming next week with Mind Body Talk on Instagram, TOK. Maybe go scope him out on Instagram and look at some of his content before I do the interview next week. Have a great rest of the week, everyone. Talk to you soon.